Welcome back. It's another edition of the Daily Recap here at the Rewind That Tape podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cash. And today, I'm going to go ahead and just preface by saying that there's been a lot of dominance in the soccer world, not only by Leo Messi, but across the ocean there in Europe, where the Premier League and La Liga have just kicked off here today. And it's been a joy to watch last season, and this opening day just gets me even more excited. So I'm just going to go ahead and talk about that. We'll have more preseason and maybe a little NBA content coming at the end of the pod. But I'm going to start off here with Manchester City opening up their Premier League campaign and the new 2023-24 Premier League season, serving as guests to Burnley FC, who, if you are here from America, you know maybe that J.J. Watt and J.J. Watt is part owner of this club, and they just got promoted from the second division back to the Premier League, so pretty exciting times. Their manager, Vincent Kompany, is a former Manchester City player, a soccer legend, and he was able to bring Burnley up with ease. So it's interesting to see what they do this year in the Premier League, but they didn't really get too easy of an opening opponent going up against the defending treble winners, defending Premier League champions in Manchester City. And man, I mean, watching this game, it was exciting. I mean, Burnley had Man City on their heels for quite some time, but I mean, it meant nothing. City dominated, winning 3-0. And of course, Erling Haaland netting two goals today. One being a header, the other being a nice turnaround goal. So I think looking at it, City didn't start Jack Grealish today. They went with Phil Foden on that left wing and played Julian Alvarez, the Argentinian wonder kid, at the central attacking mid. And it worked to perfection. I mean, Alvarez created six chances, a game high, creating six shots, which is, it's pretty unheard of in the common day for Cam to do that. Foden had three shots total, one on target, and he created two chances on that left wing. So overall, a really good game from those two young guys. This was a great game, great manager decision by Pep Guardiola to kind of get his young guys going, get them in that Premier League flow. And man, they just look like veterans under that system, playing under such composure, you know, not making silly mistakes. It was a joy to watch those two play. But on to Haaland, who's going to continue his dominance, obviously winning the Golden Boot last year, breaking the Premier League goal-scoring record for a single season. I mean, it only took him 3 minutes, 4 minutes to score a goal. And I don't know. There's not really much to say, just like how Messi's playing in America. I mean, this guy, you know he's going to score. It's just when and how. And people criticize him for scoring such simple goals, but that's just credit to his teammates for creating such great chances, easy chances. But aside from that, I mean, I'd say the only negative thing for City from this game was that Kevin De Bruyne left in the 23rd minute, I believe, suffering an injury. It looked like to his hand, but there's no full medical report out on that yet. But that's a concern, obviously, because looking back at the Champions League final, De Bruyne got injured early, had to leave, and was replaced by Phil Foden. And now here he is. It just, like, he just lasted 20 minutes. And I get it. He did play in the preseason, but obviously the intensity, the speed of both teams isn't the same as it would be once the regular season starts. And it just took 20 minutes, and he was already injured. So that's obviously not a great sight here for City fans, but hopefully he'll be able to get better soon. I mean, he's 32 years old, but has a ton left in the tank. Great passer, defender, and can shoot the ball as well as anyone. So obviously for City, they're going to need him back quick, want him back quick. But one of the things that this team is so good at is addressing the depth position, or just addressing depth in general. Once De Bruyne came off. They had Mateo Kovacic, who they just brought in on transfer from Chelsea. They had him come in, and he played superbly. I mean, he had two completed tackles today. Was really accurate looking at passing, and he just looked like he fit Guardiola's system so well. I mean, he was composed, didn't look anything out of order. Played great there in that defensive mid spot. I think if De Bruyne is out for a couple weeks, I mean, you're good with Kovacic because of just all the other veterans you have on this team. Rodri, maybe you can start counting Haaland as a veteran. You know, Kyle Walker, Bernardo Silva, those guys are all there to step up. So I feel like if De Bruyne is out for a minimal amount of time, it won't affect the City team at all because they're just going to keep on rolling with the depth that they got. So aside from that, this Premier League season, it's going to be a really fun one, especially with transfers that have been brought in, which I wanted to briefly talk about. If you guys haven't heard, Moises Caicedo, the midfielder from Brighton, he was linked to Arsenal in January in that winter transfer window. That sale never went through. They brought in Leandro Trossard from Brighton instead. And then he's been linked with Chelsea ever since. Obviously, Chelsea weren't able to bring him in June, early in July. Their bids started at like about 70 million, and they've gotten most recently up to 105 million euros. So the market's been, at least from Chelsea's perspective, I mean, they've just trying to do anything that they could to get Caicedo. And then all of a sudden, just a couple weeks ago, Liverpool jumps in that mix. They try to hijack this transfer, and they bid the highest. They bid 110, and Brighton accepts it. And normally, when managers have press conferences, they don't talk about players they're looking at. They don't talk about players they're selling. They're just going to say, I'm focused on the players in my squad right now, the players on that training ground. I don't talk about players not on my team. However, this past morning, Jurgen Klopp, manager of Liverpool, said that, yes, we have reached an agreement with Brighton for Moises Caicedo. We'll have him at the training ground. He had his medical, all that done. And then Caicedo, last second, turns around and says, I'm not going to Liverpool. All I want is Chelsea. They are the team that wanted me at first. They've been looking at me for the longest, and I want to stay loyal to their commitment. This completely messes up the transfer for Liverpool. He doesn't want to go there, and now they don't want him. They only want players interested in their club. And Caicedo clearly only wants the Chelsea move, and it looks like he'll be getting it. But I just wanted to put that out in the podcast. It's just really rare to see that happen, especially when the manager, in this case Jurgen Klopp, has confirmed that the player will be at the club. So obviously for Brighton, they're just going to continue finding more youth to develop and eventually sell at a high price. They're a successful squad playing Europa League this year. Obviously losing Caicedo is going to hurt, but they're able to bring in a lot of talent and start developing them throughout the season. And especially with that transfer that they got from Ajax with midfielder Mohamed Kudus. I mean, it's not official yet, but he's going to be a great signing for them. Plays normally on the right wing, but can play central mid, potentially being a replacement there. He doesn't really play CDM, but for Caicedo. So Roberto De Zerbi has a lot of talent on his hands. It's just an option or just a question of what he's going to do and how they're going to spend this Caicedo money, because getting 110 million for him is, to me, it's crazy. That's more money than Arsenal paid for Declan Rice. So, in my opinion, I feel like it's a massive overpay, but we'll see if it pays off for Chelsea. Moving on here, I want to talk about some preseason action. We had more preseason game kicking off today, and I'm going to go ahead and just focus on this Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing the Pittsburgh Steelers today. It's interesting what's going down in Tampa. You've got a second-round quarterback coming out of University of Florida. That's Kyle Trask. Obviously, many Tampa fans who are fans or went to the University of Florida love Trask. He was a great quarterback for them. He obviously was never going to get starting minutes over Tom Brady, but now was a potential chance for that to happen. Brady's retired. They bring in Baker Mayfield, and those two will have a quarterback competition. From what we're seeing in training camp, what we've seen, Trask has tried to play conservative, not make the home run throw, all the eye-opening throws. He's just playing a conservative, doing the right things, but nothing big. And then on the other hand, we've seen Mayfield, who had a pretty good stint in Cleveland, got injured there. They didn't want to deal with that, sent him to Carolina, where he struggled under Matt Rhule and kind of revamped his career a little bit with Sean McVay after getting picked up by the Rams. So here those two are in completely different situations when it comes to their career. Like I said, Mayfield has struggled with interceptions in training camp. That's been an ongoing issue since his NFL career began. But in this game against Pittsburgh, we see Mayfield going 8 for 9. He throws for 63 yards and a touchdown. Trask 6 for 10, 99 yards, no touchdowns and an interception. I feel like when we look at what this Tampa roster currently is, you have Chase Edmonds, veteran running back, who's really solid. Then you retain basically your receivers. You didn't trade anyone away. You kept Mike Evans, kept Chris Godwin, and your defense is it's pretty much the same with Levante David, Sean Murphy, Bunting, you know, all those guys. So for me, I think that this shows that Tampa Bay is still interested in winning now. They don't want to go the rebuild way. They're not looking at Caleb Williams. If they were, I feel like Evans or Godwin, one of the two, would be gone. Same with one of their defensive players. Devin White would be gone. They'd be traded. But I think they still believe in this roster, and I think that you know, having a quarterback like Mike Mayfield, who has shown the potential, he's led the Browns out of all teams to the playoffs, where he's been just a couple plays away from the AFC Championship. So I think Tampa Bay sees this potential in Baker, and they just want to go for it. They believe in him, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't. They end up with, let's just say, a top 10 pick, and they have a good decision. Do we build on this roster, draft a quarterback in the top 10, or do we go the rebuild way? I think for them, they're trusting in the win now situation, and in my opinion, it's going to end up being Baker, just his veteranship. He's been in the toughest situations, and regardless of what reports, the 7 interceptions in 9 practices, we don't know the volume at which he's throwing out, what kind of interceptions they are. Regardless of that, I think Tampa Bay is going to end up taking Baker because of what they're seeing so far in preseason and just the fact that he's had a ton of NFL experience playing near 70 games. So I think that that's what's going to end up happening in Tampa. But for that other side in the Steelers team, they're as well-rounded as it gets. Mason Rudolph played a really good game. Kenny Pickett, 6 for 7, 70 yards and a touchdown. Had a nice 30-yard touchdown there to George Pickens, their rookie receiver. I mean, this Pittsburgh team is never going to go away. As long as Mike Tomlin's there, they're always going to stay competitive, be in the mix, in the hunt. With that, as tough as that division is right now, as you have the Bengals, obviously Super Bowl contenders, Ravens, deep playoff threats, the Browns, who are playoff threats, and you have the Steelers, who they don't look the best in that division on paper, but they're coached by the best. So I think at this team, they're going to end up having one of those 9-8 seasons, but Kenny Pickett's going to see a jump. And so far, he's looked really comfortable in this preseason game. He's looked comfortable in camp, and they're going to start accumulating more and more young depth, young talent from the draft. So I think this Steelers team is definitely one to look out for this year, not in the sake of making the playoffs, but for me, it's just the leap that we see Kenny Pickett make. I think he could end up in that top 10 conversation this year if all goes right for this team. If they use Najee Harris correctly, obviously George Pickens, James Washington. James Washington. He's on the Cowboys now, but along with George Pickens, what they have there, Deontay Johnson is what I meant. And then they also traded for Allen Robinson. So I think this team definitely has a lot of potential, but we're just going to see where Tomlin takes him. And more importantly, the trust he shows in Kenny Pickett, what this offense is going to look like using his receiving weapons. So it's going to wrap it up today. I mean, had a lot going on in the preseason. Russell Wilson made a few nice throws, had a touchdown to Jerry Jeudy. Messi scored yet again in a 4-0 win in the League's Cup for Inter Miami. They'll move on to the semifinals. And other than that, I mean, we're looking forward to more exciting times in sports as this NFL season's about to kick off. Same with European soccer. So this is the time to stick with us. Keep those notifications on for this daily pod. Make sure following us, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. We're on all those platforms. DM us if you have any suggestions. Instagram, find us at Rewind That Tape. Same with TikTok. And then for Twitter, it's at @rewind_tape. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see you guys on the next one.